talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. Hey, I don't know what you guys, I don't think you're getting any up north, but southwestern Oklahoma and central western Oklahoma, we're getting a little rain shower through here. So far, we got almost 4 tenths here in Elk City. Sayre, or Eric, looks like over there at the mezzanine over there, almost 7 tenths. Down around Hollis, 8 tenths. Altus, 4 tenths. Mangum mezzanine is down 3 tenths at Hobart. It looks like it's working its way to the northeast. So anyway, there's another round coming in right after this one. So hopefully we all get some really good rains out of this deal. Puts me in a way mucho better mood. 49 degrees at Hollis, 53 degrees at Arnett, home of the famous Laurie Campbell. 52 degrees at Slapout, 58 degrees at May Ranch, 59 degrees at the Cherokee, 62 at Lahoma out here in the Texas Panhandle, 51 at Lipscomb, 52 at Miami, 49 at Wellington, and 51 degrees at Odell. Down there across the bridge, the Red River Bridge, that is. Lots going on today. Brandon Hickey will be in here shortly to give us an update on the cattle market, what Elk City and Western Oklahoma sale barn, see how they did. First of all, let's see what happened overnight in the ag world, the big ag world that affects us every day. Wheat futures dropped in overnight trading on favorable conditions for the U.S. winter crop. As much as 6 times the normal amount of rain has fallen in parts of Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle in the past week, according to data from the National Weather Service precipitation page. 56% of the U.S. winter wheat was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, unchanged from the previous week, the Department of Ag said in its report. You know, sometimes these guys need to do some fact-checking. Yeah, parts have gotten rain, but some of these rains may be a tad too late, so they need to figure that out before they start messing with the price of wheat. They're still up from the 27% that earned top ratings during the same week last year. Pretty dry last year and the year before, if I remember right. 6% of the crop was headed as of the start of the week versus 4% 7 days earlier. The 5-year average is 5%. Still, the rain in the southern plains has missed areas, including parts of southwestern Kansas and the southern Texas Panhandle. Spring wheat planting continues with 3% now on the ground, up from 1% a week earlier, on par for average for this time of the year, according to the USDA. Corn sowing also is underway in the U.S. with 3% planting, up from 2% 7 days earlier. Soybean futures were modestly lower as harvest rolls on in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of oil seeds. About 78% of the South American country's crop was collected as of Thursday, up from 74% a week earlier. Wheat futures for May delivery fell 6 cents to 5.59¾ cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and Kansas City futures overnight dropped 4¾ cents to 5.80½ a bushel. Corn futures were down 0.75 cents to 4.34¾. Got me there a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery lost 4 pennies to 11.77½ a bushel. Soy meal dropped 2.70 to 3.33.30 a short ton, and soy oil rose 0.01 cents to 47.91 cents a pound. Soybean and grain inspections for offshore delivery were lower across the board in the week that ended April the 4th, according to the report from the USDA. Inspections of soybeans declined to 484,000 metric tons, down from 547,000 tons a week earlier. That's also down from the 679,000 tons assessed last year. Corn for export fell to 1.42 million from 1.47 million a week earlier. Last week's total was up from 839,000 tons inspected last year. Wheat assessments dropped to 497,000 tons from 569,000 tons the previous week. That compared to 390,000 tons at the same point last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 37.6 million metric tons of soybeans for export. Corn inspections since September now stand at 27.3 million tons. That's up quite a bit from last year at 20.2 million a year ago. Wheat examinations since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st are now at 15.4 million tons, and that's down about 3 million tons assessed last year. All kinds of crazy weather going on in our wild ag belt. Extremely dry weather is expected in parts of western and north central Nebraska starting tomorrow. Potential exists for elevated to near critical fire weather conditions to mid to late week due to the combination of warming temperatures. It says warning temperatures, but warming, I'll throw warming in there. Low humidity and gusty winds. Dry weather will also create tinderbox-like conditions in northern Colorado from Wednesday through Monday. In Illinois, meanwhile, flooding is possible as recent rains have led rivers overrunning on their bank. Thunderstorms are possible again tomorrow and Thursday in that area. So anyway, we got a good chance of rain for most, I think, light precipitation. I hate to say this, guys, up there in northwestern Oklahoma, far northwestern Oklahoma, chances are going to, or rain totals are going to be light, but as you go further south and east, should be pretty good. Hopefully, let me check the radar. Yeah, looks like they're getting a little bit of rain out there where the Stone Creek wildfire was. So that's good. And there's a lot more moving up towards the Panhandle right now. So anyway, enjoy the rain. All right, tonight or this afternoon, late afternoon, 5:30 to 7:30 over here behind Tractor Supply in that area, that road going to the softball fields at the Western Technology Center here in Elk City from 5:30 to 7:30. Becky Carroll is going to be here from the OSU Extension Agency in Oklahoma City, and so will Greg Hartman and some other people. But anyway, we're going to have a pecan seminar, if you want to call it. If you have pecan trees, whether it's an orchard or if it's just one, and you want to learn more about pecans, or if you got questions, man, Becky Carroll's the lady to do it. You guys need to come. Just 5:30 to 7:30. No, there will not be no dinner served. It's just a 2-hour seminar. But please come. Enjoy. I got a few questions for her, and I know I got some friends that are coming that's got questions. But anyway, it'd be a really good time to come learn more about pecan trees. Matter of fact, if you have some issues with fruit trees after the seminar or during a break or something, if you want to talk to her about your fruit trees, she's the lady. If you don't believe me, make a call to the Oklahoma Forestry Department and tell them you want some information on pecan trees or fruit trees, whether it's peach, apple, whatever, and they're going to give you Becky's number. That's how good she is. All right, let's go ahead and take a, what is today? Oh, today is Stockman's, excuse me, I'm about to lose my voice already. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic, happy hour, all hour. Matter of fact, I was there bright and early this morning, about 8:10, to drop my poor baby off, Beth, my wire hair pointing Griffon. She's had a little work done on her, so she doesn't have puppies anymore, or have any puppies. I ain't got time for puppies anyway. She's not probably going to be very happy with me. I got to go pick her up after the show and take her home. Anyway, she did that. Yesterday, what did we do? Oh, Dr. Mouse came out to the Ponderosa out west of Elk, and we worked the cows, gave them yearly checkups, and then we brought their babies in and had them work. We got a lot done yesterday afternoon. So anyway, life on the farm and the ranch. Anyway, we'll be right back after this Stockman's Vet break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey folks, I'm Ken Russ, new owner of Hobart Stockyards. We want to thank Rex Fleming for the great job and dedication he has done serving the community in southwestern Oklahoma. I look forward to continuing working with you cattle producers and marketing your cattle. We are bringing in multiple independent cattle buyers and along with current buyers to guarantee you get top prices for your cattle. Give me a call at 580-530-0192. Here at Hobart Stockyards, we only sell the best. And remember that Jesus is Lord.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, I'm glad Brandon's on today because I don't know if I'm going to make it through the whole show talking. I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm losing my voice. Anyway, Wellington, Texas, here is your ag weather update. 49 degrees, got a wind chill 41. Humidity's 80%, dew point's 43, winds out of the northeast at 29 miles an hour, gust up to 35, peak wind gust today so far, 50 miles an hour. Month to date, precipitation, they've been getting some rain down there this morning during the night, 96 one-hundredths of an inch, almost an inch, no red flag or sub-freezing minutes, 8-inch soil temperature, 55 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now is Mr. Brandon Hickey with the Elk City and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Barns, as you want to call them. Good morning, sir, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon, just barely good afternoon.
Just barely, anyway. So are you getting rain where you're at?
I am. I'm sitting right here in the office at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, and it is just coming down just as pretty and as nice as you please.
Oh, man, I forgot a sheet of paper in my truck, and I ran out there during the break, and it just coming right on down out here. Let her gum.
What a nice spring rain.
Yes, it is. Well, starting with Elk City, how'd the sale go Friday?
Good, very good. Everybody a little bit nervous. They were pulling down on that futures board a little bit, so a little bit worrisome about what it's going to do to these prices, these calf and the feeder prices. But didn't have any effect at all on our. They did pull a little bit of money off the cow and bull meat, but not very much. They were still really, really good. But they were a little bit cheaper than the week before, and the feeders and the calves was down just a little bit from the week before. Also, didn't have a lot of big cattle at Elk City on Friday, but the calves are sure a little bit cheaper than what they have been. But still, really good market, really good prices on everything. Still a lot of buyer activity. Just pulled the bids in a little bit to kind of compensate for what the futures board is doing, and where they can kind of get those cattle protected at.
Well, when I got there to eat lunch, I got to sit down with Rusty Breeze, and I don't know who that other gentleman was, or I just don't remember. And then there was Scott Robinson. Man, his head was big as 10 basketballs, and he said, "I rung the bell with my bull, Jimmy." And anyway, I said, "What's that?" He said, "My bull brought 182 a pound." I said, "Darn, that's good. It must have been a black one." He said, "No, it was a Charlotte, Jimmy." And I knew that was coming. That's the reason why I said that. Oh, my God. That was something. And then your auctioneer walked in, and I said, "Did you have something to do with that? Is that like for real, or did you bump it up out of sympathy?" He said, "Oh, no, that was a great bull." So,
yep.
So anyway, that was pretty good. That's pretty good money for a bull.
Oh, it is. It is. It's really good money for these bulls. A lot of these bulls bumping up there to $4,000, and these guys are being able to trade them out for almost nothing, get them a brand new young bull for the same money, or maybe just a smidgen more. That just doesn't hardly ever happen. And good time to be trading out the bulls right now. If you got these old bulls, but we're running out of bull sales. You know, we're starting to get late in the spring, and it's starting to get late to replace your bulls. I know Elk City's going to have a bull sale coming up here pretty quick.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday, and so there'll be an opportunity there. But we're getting late now, so it's getting time to get these bulls replaced and get this good price and replace them and not have to spend a bunch more than what your cull bulls are bringing. That's a pretty nice little thing to have happening. But still, just unbelievable that our dadgum kill bull prices is more dollars per hundred than what they're being able to get out of these fat cattle out of the feedlot. That just boggles my mind that's the scenario that we're in right now.
So in your boggles in your mind, what do you think's going on? Just they need hamburger meat?
Yeah, they need hamburger meat, but more so than that. I mean, we knew these numbers was going to get tight going forward, but it should be tight across the board. We should be tighter on the fat cattle. We should be tighter on the butcher cows and bulls and everything. And what you're seeing is, these butcher cows and bulls, the price has gone up because they're having to compete. The packers are having to compete with one another for the supply. You know, they're not being able to just sit there and wait for it to come to them like they do a lot of times. They're having to actually go out and compete. You're seeing this market come up, because of that. And on our fat cattle, them guys aren't having to compete. They're just sitting there playing chess with the feedlots of, who's gonna blink first, and give up their product. And you know, the feedlots are in a bad place because they've got a perishable product that they, you know, can only get so big. And the Packers have done a good job of playing, the Big Four have done a good job of playing chess on their end. You know, they've been able to pull these carcass weights up and keep these prices down in the 80s. And I think one time, you know, a week or two, we was able to bump them into the low 90s. But, you know, this fat cattle ought to be bringing over $2 right now with the number situation. But they've been able to pull the carcass weights up and get more beef. And of course, you know, now they're whining about the box beef price has come down. Well, but it's still, choice is still up there around $3, which just means they're making really, really good money when they're buying these fat cattle at in the 180s, you know. And really and honestly, we ought to be in a time with the supply where they ought to be barely breaking even to maybe losing a little money just to keep going, and then that hasn't materialized. So,
yeah, because choice is almost as much as prime. That's what I think is crazy. And so, and they're just, I don't know, just crazy times. Well, you know, the futures, and you know, I know you love talking about the boys that push paper. And last week there was a couple dips and it came up a little bit, and yesterday is a little dip and I haven't looked at it in the last hour, but it's up, not too bad. But anyway, what do you think was causing that? You think they was trying to get things in check, like the margins between the like on 6 weights up to the 8 weights, there wasn't a lot of margin there, or are they really nervous about the bird flu and the dairy cattle?
Well, I think you've got some some people playing the paper that don't really understand what the effect that's going to have on beef cattle and the beef supply chain and everything. Which it's the answer to that is none. I mean, there's no threat to our food supply whatsoever with this bird flu. I mean, it's not even, you know, it's not even deadly to the dairy cows it's got in. It's just basically taking them out of milk production for a little bit, you know, then they're recovering and being fine, and you know, and the one person that has contracted it that the media wants to take and run and act like it's a big deal will come to find out they were drinking unpasteurized milk right out of the cow that had bird flu.
I hadn't heard that.
Oh yeah, he was drinking unpasteurized milk right from the cows that were affected. You know, so I mean, but. Those guys, they have to. The market has to move for them to make money. You know, it has to go up and down for them to be able to play and put money in, take money out, and make money. So any little old thing they can get, you know, and our uneducated media helps them. You know, that they can put information out there that's not exactly right or slightly twisted or in some cases just completely and totally false. You know, when they put that out there and it causes people to jump out of the market and drive the market down, and you know, and you know, none of it's really fact based, and that's kind of the deal we're in right now. And of course, you know, the Big Four, I mean, the Big Four Packers, they love this kind of stuff because it, you know, that just helps them keep this market depressed, because it, you know, even though it's not accurate information, you know, it pushed jump out of that futures board and the Chicago Mercantile and drive this thing down a little bit, and it just helps them, you know, gives them more leverage when they're dealing with these feedlots on their product. So, you know, it's frustrating that a lot of these people that are playing the commodities paper, you know, they shouldn't even be allowed to, unless they're actually owning the cattle to a certain extent. And we've got way too many paper players and not enough real true commodity players. And, you know, there, at some point there really ought to be some rules put in place where if you're not playing with the commodities, you really shouldn't get to play with the paper all the time. Because that, you know, they're affecting the ones that's really out here supplying the food, and they're doing nothing but you know, trading money around and have nothing to do with their food supply. And that deal with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the Chicago Board of Trade, you know, originally was put in place to do some trading on the grain, but it was always supposed to be backed by product. But unfortunately now there is a lot more paper traded than we have cattle or grain or anything to cover. There's, you know, there's people in all the time that are just playing the positions and, you know, have nothing to do with the actual commodity. And I think that's, you know, it's affecting us it's affecting people that are actually in the business. And I don't think that's right for that to happen when you've got uneducated paper players, just playing the money, just playing the market. I mean, they play the commodities just like they do the stocks, and that's not. I don't think that's right for them to be able to do that if they're not going to be in the commodities. But I don't think that I think there's too many of them with too much money behind them. I don't think they really care what I think.
Oh, I know. They got, Bill Gates is listening right now. He's probably going to go back and tell his lawyers. Just laugh at you. So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on over to I-40 where you're at over there, Western Oklahoma. Man, you had a lot of big cattle yesterday.
We did. Had a big run of really nice steers. It was very, very heavy to the steer side. And lots of 9 and light 10 weight steers and good quality. My gosh, we had a lot of good quality cattle, and it was good than throughout the day, better than what I think a lot of them was expecting or hoping for. Got to send several loads yesterday. They was good enough kind of cattle. Got to send several loads out of here all the way to Iowa yesterday. And that's always exciting when you get to send some Western Oklahoma cattle, that far north and, into Iowa and Nebraska, Indiana, places like that where they're growing and feeding their own corn right there on the farms and the feedlots. And when you got the kind of quality we had yesterday, well, it's easy for them to buy them and send them that way. And then we got to see some of that yesterday, and exciting to have that happen and have those kind of players here in the market for the good cattle.
What, help me out here. My brain is dead like most of the time. Where's turkey at? You had 22 head there, weighed 845, brought 224.50. Where's turkey at?
Turkey, is south and west of Childress.
Oh, okay. It's down in Texas. All right. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you had that huge load, herd out of Sentinel, the 170 head that weighed 962. I bet they're smiling all the way to the bank today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. That was pretty tickled. They wasn't even a home raised. They was a set that the guy bought and put together, but they was 100% black and black baldies, and he bought them all right here local, right here in the Clinton Elk City area, and put them together. And boy, they was a nice set, and that was some of the ones that ended up in Iowa when they were done yesterday.
Well, the way they were priced, they was a pretty nice set. And then the girls are still doing just awesome.
Yeah, we lighter on the girls numbers yesterday. Didn't have as many of them as we had the steers. Very, very heavy loaded to the steer side, but the girls were still really good. Light sevens up in the upper 20s, mid sevens in the high teens, low 20s. We had one really big, beautiful set of heifers come from a guy over here at Custer City that has a really, really nice program. But boy, his cattle always grow good and do good and get bigger than what he thought. His heifers, the bottom end of his heifers, the ones he didn't keep for cows, come in weighing 1,065 at 178. That's pretty good dollars per head on them big
old pretty girls.
And they were nice. Oh, yeah, they were beautiful. They were just a perfect set of black and black baldies. I mean, just the kind that, man, you hate to see them go to the feedlot. You'd love to have seen them. Somebody make cows out of them, but they brought a lot of dollars.
Looks like the bred cows and the pairs were doing good, so everything was doing good. You should have called me. I'd have brought you three over, and that'd have made it even 1,500.
Yep. That's what a couple of 3 or 4 weeks ago, or whatever, we hit exactly 1,400. I said nobody will ever believe that we did that. I think I padded the numbers, but I don't. That's what we run was 1,497, and that's what I thought. I'm like, man, we just find three more heads somewhere so they get that 1,500 yesterday. But yeah, what? The bred cows and pairs are good. We didn't have the quality we did. I missed talking to you, a week ago, last Tuesday, and we didn't get to talk about those $3,450 bred cows that we had at Elk City, but that is a really, really pretty set of black and black baldy cows, really nice, and some nice packages of them come off of one place up there in Kansas, and and we didn't get to talk about that last week. But we didn't have that this week, but we didn't have the quality like what those cows were either. So it's pretty amazing what a really good, nice quality set of
what the ones from Kansas bring.
$34.50 for the heavy bred end.
$34.50.
Yes, sir.
So you got anything coming in at Elk City or Western Oklahoma that people need to know about coming up?
Got coming in at Elk City this Friday for this Friday's sale. We've got two different groups of be about 60, 70 head of old cows and the calves off of them. Possibly could be a few pairs, but probably mostly we're just going to have a really good offering of lightweight calves off of those cows, and the cows are going to be pretty agey, and so you know, good run of those thinner, older cows. Be some bred cows on them, but the majority of them are going to have calves, but we probably won't pair very many of them. The calves are going to be big enough that we'll probably just split them off and sell them as good as the lightweight calf market is. So we'll have some good offerings of lightweight calves and cows. And then Monday at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, we're expecting between 500 and 600 five and six weight grazing cattle. Sure be 120-day weaned steers and heifers. Just ready. I mean, turned out, been turned out and weaned and vaccinated for a long, long time. And they're going to be ready to go right on out to grass or graze out wheat for somebody. We should have between 500 and 600 guys got to go through them and sort his big end off, and going to leave his little full weights at home to grow and bring his fives and sixes, and should have, when we get through that, we're thinking probably 500 or 600 of them for next Monday's sale at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction.
Awesome. And this rain should inspire some people too, huh?
Oh, man. You just talk about a beautiful, perfect spring rain. It's just beautiful out this window right now watching this stuff fall and in the parking lot just rippling out here. And I'm looking out at the parking lot watching it fall because it's really pretty there. When I look back towards the pens and think about how muddy they're going to get, I don't like looking that way.
I was getting ready to say the exact same thing. And then, well, I've been saving the best for last. So I went in there to get me something to eat. And usually I do grilled onions on a cheeseburger and the whole nine yards. Well, they had the special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I got this craving, and I looked at Rusty Breeze. He was eating it, so I thought, man, I'm just going to go ahead and order one. So I ordered a special. I mean, if that pork chop had been any thicker, I would have had to get a big old steak knife to cut through it. It was at least a quarter inch thick.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, it was good, but I had an issue with her, or them, her, mainly her, the little short gray-haired one anyway, with glasses. Anyway, the issue is serving pork in a sale barn? Come on.
Yeah, I know it. I heard some other complaints, too, but, you know, it was pretty good, and, you know, we do have to get rid of that pork product, you know, also. And, you know, I told her this last week, now week before last, I didn't even get my after sale hamburger because they completely and totally sold out of hamburgers. And I informed her that she really ought to be hugging your neck, because all this free advertising and buildup she gets every Tuesday, that's probably why she runs out of hamburger every week.
It could be. it really could be, but she just... She threw them.
Everybody wants to go in there and eat that good food, but I think they also want to really see if how we describe these ornery girls is really how they are. They, you know, so they're, you know, they're people are going in there for the food, but also to see if they can get to experience the orneriness, which is not hard at all to get to do.
Yeah, she when she laughs, oh, she's going to kill me now. When she laughs, I know exactly who it is, because she laughs just like Roseanne Barr.
Oh no! Yeah, you might not ought to show up this Friday after that.
Anyway,
give her a week to forget that one.
So anyway, oh no, she won't forget. So anyway, but anyway, all right, Brandon Hickey, thanks for coming on today. Give us an update and good luck with the sale this Friday.
All right, sounds good. Thank you,
Jeff. I might see you or might not. So we'll see. So anyway, we'll see you later.
All right. Good afternoon.
Let's take a Stockman's Vet happy hour break. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
April 1st through the 13th, we have our filter sales event going on. You save up to 40% on all Napa Gold filters. Anything diesel, gas related, vehicles, small engine, we've got filters for everything. We have a lot of customers that come in here and buy the year's supply of filters at this time so that they get them at a discounted price.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd.
We figure out what they need and we keep our customer happy.
Tips Insurance Agency is an independent insurance agency. Justin Twyman, what does that mean?
Well, Sean, that means that we can go out and shop multiple carriers. We're not tied to one line of business. That way, if one line of business declines you, we have another line of business to come in and quote. So Tips Agency, we currently represent a little over 100 carriers. So we have an outlet for your insurance needs.
How can that help someone looking for personal or commercial insurance?
Well, that just gives them options. We don't want to limit our customers to one option. That way we don't try to fit a round peg into a square hole.
Justin, you handle several corporate insurance policies. What sets you apart?
Well, I always tell everyone I'm not a typical insurance agent. You know, I've been around the oil field since I was born and raised here. So I know how it works. Sometimes you get home at night after work, and you're like, man, I was supposed to call the insurance guy, and you didn't do it. So every customer I've got, they have my cell phone number. They shouldn't hesitate to call me, ask me the question. Let's get it knocked out so they don't forget the next day.
What's the best way to contact you at the Tips Agency?
You can stop by my office, 314 North Main Street, just north of Walgreens, or you can call my cell phone. Cell phone number is 580-374-1052.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet, so I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you, too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
It'll only take 60 seconds of your time to get your oil changed. All you got to do is call Barber Dice Ford and make an appointment. That's it. We'll come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. You keep doing what you're doing, living your life. If you give us 60 seconds, we'll take care of everything for you. Let us take that burden off your shoulders and make your life a little bit easier. That's the no-hassle oil change. It's part of the Barber Dice difference.
As cattlemen, we know that our winter feeding program is one of the largest factors in our bottom line. At Canadian Animal Health and Nutrition, we continue to look for new opportunities in the feed industry. The newest product is a 28% protein and a 9% fat extruded distiller's cube. This new cubing process creates a cube with more fat, better structural integrity, and a lower cost per pound of protein than traditional milling processes. Give us a call at Canadian AH&N in Canadian, Texas for more on this and all other options for your winter feeding program.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. No death threats yet over the phone or the text line, which is a good thing. 60 degrees at Fairview. Here's your northwestern Oklahoma agriculture forecast. Dew point is 40, humidity's 48. The winds are out of the north, northeast at 10 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 0.07 inches. 3-day average, 4-inch bare. Soil temperature, 60 degrees. 1-day average, 10-inch fractional water, 1.0. Sunset, 8:03. 30% chance of rain today, 68 for a high. Tonight, it ups to 60%. Rain showers likely and 47 with northeast to north winds, 12 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 30% chance of rain showers, 67 for a high, and north winds continue. All right. As most springtime calving is winding down, it's time to prepare a breeding season. We are here to help you with your AI project needs and supplies. We can assist with everything from planning to complete turnkey breeding services. Also, a bull turnout is approaching. Please don't neglect to schedule your herd bulls for a complete breeding soundness exam. It's the cheapest and most effective way to help ensure your next calf crop. Spring is also a great time to treat our cows and calves to all internal and external parasites as well. We are seeing ticks and lice already affecting some herds. With the great cattle prices, let's visit and make sure we are vaccinating our calves to help them maximize their health and value. We are here to help with all your livestock, horse, pet, and pet needs whenever you need us. Stop by Stockman's anytime at 1019 1019 South Main Street in Elk City, or call 580-225-0200 to schedule an appointment or for after-hours emergency service. Dang right, it's here. It's brilliant. But you know, that's what Brandon said a while ago. They're getting $3,000, $3,500, almost $4,000 for cull bulls. If you got a bull you're wanting to replace, yeah, it's going to cost you a little more to go out and buy you another bull. And like I said, the bull sales are just about done. Why not invest in another bull? Pay $6,000 for one. You get $3,500 for your old one. You're in $3,500. Time to replace those bulls. Be a good time to replace those bulls. They'll pay for themselves really quick, I promise you. Anyway, yeah, and don't forget to get your bulls tested before you turn them out. It's a bad deal when you get in there in January and February. None of your cows are pregnant. So anyway, get that all checked out and be cool with it. Hey, me and Brandon went a little bit long, so let's go ahead and take another Stockman's Vet break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit of alfalfa and see what's happening on some other stuff. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is proud to announce they're now offering the High Energy Liquid Livestock Feed Mix 30. This liquid protein fat supplement is for cattle on grass or hay forage and is now available at SEI Agritech for pickup or delivery. They also have half semi or semi loads available. For more information, give Ken a call at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317, or stop by the SEI Agritech location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah or give them a call at 928-2664.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 1st. 721 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 401 brought 361. 10 at 757 brought 263. 54 at 870 brought 232. 26 at 910 brought 223.50. 59 at 959 brought 217.50. 114 at 966 brought 215. 3 head of heifers at 512 brought 291. 7 at 544 brought 292.50. 8 at 621 brought 269. 5 at 639 brought 256. 2 at 753 brought 224. 6 at 799 brought 209. Butcher cows were 60 to 154. Butcher bulls brought 134 to 180. Bred cows were 1600 to 2525. Pairs brought 1985 to 3000. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hobart Farming Garden Ag Weather Update. I'm picked Hollis today. 49 degrees, feels like 41. Dew point's 46. The humidity's 87. The winds are out of the northeast at 31 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 42. 24-hour rain total, 78 one-hundredths of an inch. 10-day rain total, 0.81. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 62 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 8:07. Rain showers likely today, 90% chance of rain. Tonight, 90% chance of rain also, 45 for a low. Tomorrow, 60% chance of rain showers, likely 68 degrees for a high. How about that? But it's still going to be breezy. So anyway, we'll enjoy the weather, everybody. Okay, let's see what the hay markets are doing. Where we go? Where is it at? There we go. That ain't it. But anyway, I'll go with this. In February, all U.S. hay exports totaled 275,535 metric tons. According to the USDA's Foreign Ag Service, all hay exports to Japan in particular were up 16% from January at 89,000 metric tons. The country recently raised its interest rate for the first time in 17 years, which could be good news for the future exchange rates between the U.S. dollar and the Japanese yen. U.S. alfalfa hay exports totaled 186,908 metric tons in February, which was more than 9% greater than January, which is a good thing, and 15% higher than last year this time. China held a strong lead as top alfalfa hay export market in February at 85,000 metric tons, followed by Japan at 37,000 and Saudi Arabia a few numbers shy of 19,000 metric tons. Fertilizer. This is a really interesting article on 10 states led way in fertilizer cuts. As fertilizer prices spiked dramatically from 2017 to 2022, and more farmers across the U.S. adopted conservation practices, the latest Ag Census data shows the total overall commercial fertilizer applications have dropped. What's more is DTN's analysis of census data shows total applications by acre dropped in 8 of the top 10 fertilizer use states. According to data collected by the DTN from January 1, 2017 to January 1 of 2022, overall fertilizer prices increased by about 141%. That includes prices for DAP, MAP, potash, urea, 1034-O, anhydrous, UAN 28, and UAN 32. Anhydrous and urea prices grew by 300% during that time. fertilizer prices started to rise beginning in fall of 2020 and reached higher levels through 21 and 22 until the spring of 23 when the prices began to fall. Retail fertilizer prices skyrocketed for many reasons, including COVID-19 transportation issues, global supply issues, and a duty battle on phosphorus fertilizers. The Ag Census showed there was only 5 states that recorded an increases in fertilizer applications during that 5-year period. One of them was a major corn producing state. In order, Kansas, Montana, California, and Washington, and Mississippi. Kansas ranked among the nation's top 5 in total applications in 2022 and was number 1 with its 775,000 acres increased to about 18.9 acres that they fertilized. To the state's credit, however, Kansas farmers led the nation in number of no-till acres added in 2022, which was 550,293 acres. So there you got it. So here is the top 10 states that cut fertilizer. Let's check it out. Top 5 states. Number 1 was Texas because they're big. That's all I got to say about it. They're just big. They said that the Texas led the nation in cutting commercial fertilizer applications by 3,499,000 acres in that 5-year period from 17 to 22. A few things stand out about the use of ag chemicals in Texas. It says Texas producers cut the number of acres treated for insects from 7.6 million in 2017 to 3.5 million in 2022. In addition, farmers cut treated for weeds, grass, and brush from about 20 million to 15.3 million acres. In conservation, Texas farmers reported both an increase in cropland acres that use conservation or reduced tillage from 5 million to 5.5 million and a decrease in conventional tillage from 8.7 to 7.8. Almost a million acres they did that. Well, number 2 was North Dakota. Number 3 was South Dakota. Look, check this out. Number 4, Oklahoma. The Sooner State recorded the 4th largest cut in commercial fertilizer applications, reducing acres from 1,469,782 from 2017 to 2022. The number of acres treated for insects dropped from 1.7 million from 2017 to 2022. In addition, acres treated to control weeds, grass, or brush dropped by about 2.2 million acres. Oklahoma agriculture increased no-till and conservation and reduced tillage acres slightly while bumping up cover crop acres planted by 68,000 acres. Well, there you go. Number 5 was Missouri. Let's see here. Number 6 was Nebraska. Number 7 was Illinois. Number 8 was Minnesota. And number 9 was Indiana. And coming in at number 10 was Kentucky. They did pretty good. I don't know. That's a pretty interesting deal. I haven't seen them report like that quite a while. So that was pretty cool. We got a quick couple minutes left here. I know there's some people out planting alfalfa, spring alfalfa, and here's some expertise, not from me, but from this article. Alfalfa stand most likely points back to a well-timed and carefully executed seeding. In the Midwest, alfalfa seeding dates can fall on either shoulder of the growing season, with both times of the year offering its own list of planting conditions, pros and cons. The results of the study that they were talking about was a recent issue of the Midwest Forage Association's Clipping newsletter. The researchers established randomized plots of alfalfa seeded at 5, 7.5, 10, 12.5, 15, and 20 pounds per acre. Each plot was replicated 4 times and divided into 2 sections. what else they got here? No data was collected during the establishment year due to extremely dry weather that hindered plant growth for seeding to emerge. The researchers measured stem density and all that other good stuff. It says here that plots at 12.5 acres per acre, 12.5 pounds per acre, realized the greatest total yield of per acre over 2 years, confirming that alfalfa stands could generate favorable years when yields when seeding rates are lower than what is typically implemented. So anyway, anywhere from 12 and a half to 20 is what they're saying. I guess it depends on whether it's irrigated or non-irrigated. So anyway, 12.5 seems like the good thing to do in dry land, according to this research program. All right, you guys, have a great day. Hope you get some rain. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.